Lakers Carpool is brought to you by Hook Products USA. Truck lovers, tow hook covers finally are here. Introducing Tokes, a first-of-its-kind tow hook cover that is a great way to personalize your truck's factory tow hooks. Tokes are made in the USA out of high-grade silicone rubber that clasps right over your truck's factory tow hooks so it installs in seconds and no tools are needed. With colors red, white, blue, pink, and amber, and costing just $34.95 per pair, Tokes are a unique and affordable way to customize your truck. Go to hookproductsusa.com and head over to the compatibility tool to make sure that Tokes will fit over your truck's tow hooks. After that, checkout is super easy and your truck will be rocking its Tokes in no time. Again, that's hookproductsusa.com for Tokes, the original tow hook cover. Welcome to Lakers Carpool. My name is James Brooks. I'm your host. Thanks for joining me on today's episode. We are a few days into free agency. Free agency opened up on Friday. Today is Sunday. And the Lakers have made a lot of moves. They were really busy on the first day of free agency. We're going to jump into all that. I'll give my reaction to what I think, how I think the Lakers did, and how I think the team's shaping up for next season. So let's just jump on right on into it. So to start off the free agency day on Friday, the Lakers had a pretty big signing. This one kind of got swept under the rug a little bit, but I think this is going to be a huge difference for the Lakers. They signed Taurean Prince to a one-year, $4.5 million deal. And to me, this is like one of the best signings that we got because he's a good three-point shooter. He is a good defender. He's a good just 3-and-D wing kind of guy for the Lakers. And to get him for just $4.5 million to start off the free agency period was super impressive. It allowed them to open up and make some other deals that we'll kind of jump into a little bit. So Taurean Prince, you know, he was on the Timberwolves before. He averaged 9.1 points, 2 rebounds, 1 assist per game, while shooting 46.7% from the field and 38% from 3, which is pretty impressive. A pretty good season from him last season. And now we just have to hope that he can kind of hold on to his shooting. You know, we always joke on Twitter and stuff that once a good three-point shooter puts on a Lakers uniform, he forgets how to shoot. So we'll see how things actually shape up next season. You know, maybe there's just a lot of pressure that as Lakers fans put on these shooters, but he was a really good shooter last season. So if he can keep that up and shoot at a, you know, 38% clip next season as well, that would be fantastic. And then again, just the defense, and he's a position, you know, kind of like a small forward, just forward position where he can also give LeBron some spells and whatnot here and there. So that was a great signing. And again, just for $4.5 million for the year. I mean, that's basically what we're paying Jared Vanderbilt. And Jared Vanderbilt, he's a great defender, but Jared Vanderbilt doesn't really provide much offensively. With Taurean Prince, you kind of get both. You know, he's maybe not as good of a defender as Jared Vanderbilt is, but he makes up for it in the offense in that sense. So there'll be a nice little 1-2 punch from a defensive standpoint for sure. And again, to get him around that $4.5 million range was a great way to start off the free agency period on Friday. A sign that the Lakers had that was kind of like a big splash signing, you know, and we'll see. I think that this guy has a lot of heat around him, which is not to, you know, mince words or whatever. So Lakers signed Gabe Vincent from the Heat I think it was a 3-year, $33 million deal. So averages out like $11 million a year for Gabe Vincent. Gabe Vincent was an undrafted guy, came out and stepped up and had a really good playoffs for the Heat. Now he's a guy that's been kind of inconsistent for the few years he's been in the NBA. You know, Heat fans are quick to say right now, like, oh, Laker fans think that they're getting something good. But, you know, don't forget the times when Gabe Vincent would just pull up from, you know, 32 feet and we're like, what the heck is he doing and stuff. So we'll see what the Gabe Vincent situation is and how he actually pans out next season. He had a really good playoffs, and I think that he is getting a pretty nice contract for how he played in the playoffs. And, you know, you can't deny how well he played. But I don't want to be one of those guys that like gets too excited too quick because he played well in the playoffs. Things happen like that, right? Like guys get hot for a period of time and maybe he won't hold on to it. We'll see. But the Lakers did not bring back Dennis Schroeder. Dennis Schroeder signed a nice deal, like 2 year, $25 million with the Toronto Raptors. So Gabe Vincent is basically, you know, I think the Lakers basically looked at bringing in Gabe Vincent or bringing back Dennis Schroeder, and they decided that Gabe Vincent was the better situation. And I do think that he probably is an upgrade from Dennis Schroeder. You know, I think Gabe Vincent might be a little bigger. I mean, Dennis Schroeder's motor was crazy, and props to Dennis Schroeder for everything he did for the Lakers through the rest of the, like through the end of the regular season last year. In the playoffs, he had some big moments. Lakers wouldn't have gone all the way to the Western Conference Finals without Dennis Schroeder. So for all the Lakers fans out there that hate on Dennis Schroeder, got to get real, man. Like, Dennis Schroeder was really good for the Lakers, and in one sense, it's a bummer to see him go. In another sense, you know, you kind of end that little Darvin Ham, Dennis Schroeder love relationship, so maybe that's probably better for the Lakers in that sense, because, you know, Darvin Ham was always favoriting Dennis Schroeder, if what it felt like. But I do think Gabe Vincent is a slight upgrade over Dennis Schroeder. If you look at their stats, right, if you're going to look at their box scores and their stats and stuff, like, their stats for last season were almost identical. You know, Gabe Vincent shot really well from three in the playoffs for the Heat, but overall he's only like a 33% three-point shooter, which is right around where Dennis Schroeder is. So, you know, maybe expect to see a little bit of a regression from Gabe Vincent over the season, but he's proven that he can be a guy that can step up in the playoffs. You know, you saw the same thing, you kind of saw what we saw with Rui Hachimura, right? Like, Rui was, he's good during the regular season and whatnot, but there's a reason why the Lakers were able to trade for him for next to nothing and bring him in. But then in the playoffs, he stepped up and was huge for the Lakers in the playoffs. I feel like maybe you get the same situation with Gabe Vincent. At the end of the day, he's a great guard to have off the bench. He's a slight upgrade from Dennis Schroeder, in my opinion. And, you know, $11 million a year on average for 3 years is not bad for a guy that just came out and, like, helped carry the Heat to the playoffs, you know? I mean, or through the playoffs, I mean, into the finals. Obviously, Jimmy Butler was huge for the Heat. Bam Adebayo, those guys. Duncan Robinson stepped up. But Gabe Vincent played a huge role, you know, good defense, three-point shooting, and good, just good guard play all around. So nice to have him come in with the purple and gold. Yeah, he shot 40% from – Gabe Vincent shot 40% from the field and 33% from beyond the arc last season, which is almost identical to what Dennis Schroeder did. So at the very least, you're bringing back a similar player as Dennis Schroeder, and, you know, best case scenario, he's an upgrade. So another big thing that the Lakers did was bring back Rui Hachimura, which, if you've listened to my past episodes talking about the Lakers free agency, the two priorities for the Lakers, in my opinion, were bringing back Austin Reeves and bringing back Rui Hachimura. And the Lakers brought back Rui Hachimura. They signed him to a 3 year, $51 million deal. So shout out to Rui Hachimura for getting a nice contract from the Lakers, and I'm definitely excited to have him back. He's another guy like Torian Prince, like we mentioned, that can give LeBron spells. You know, like, he can come out and defend. He's proven that he can shoot from three. He shot really well in the playoffs for the Lakers. He can attack the basket. He's just a big body. He can play defense. Just another really good 3-and-D wing for the Lakers to have. You know, he's not like superstar level, but he's a guy that can, you know, he played good defense against Jokic in the Western Conference Finals for being undersized. He was huge, obviously, in game one against Memphis. Lakers punched Memphis in the mouth in game one, the first game of the playoffs, behind 29 points from Rui Hachimura, you know? And I'm not saying that Rui Hachimura deserves to come back and get paid for one game, but he proved over the course of the playoffs and in the down the stretch of the regular season last year, he came in and he was a big boost for the Lakers. And especially with LeBron's injury, he was able to come in and really help LeBron kind of be able to take things a little slow. You know, he was the first guy off the bench to sub in for LeBron. So good to have him back. And let's see, he averaged in the playoffs, he averaged 12 points, 24 minutes, shooting 55% from the field, 48% beyond the arc in the playoffs. Like, that's insane. And again, you can't expect him to do that throughout the regular season or whatever, but to prove that you can step up in those big moments and play that well is huge. And the Lakers, you know, they're planning on being back in the playoffs, and you need guys that can step up, get points, hit shots, role players like that. Another forward that the Lakers signed was Cam Reddish. Now, Cam Reddish is one of those guys that's kind of been, I feel like, low-key a disappointment in his career in the NBA so far. I haven't watched him too much, so I don't really know what to expect too much from Cam Reddish. You know, in theory, he's a 6'8 guy that can, just another big wing that can hit threes and maybe play some defense. But, you know, I don't know a ton about his game, if I'm being completely honest. The Lakers signed him to a veteran minimum deal, though, so it's a low-risk, potentially high-reward situation. So I think, you know, again, yeah, he hasn't really lived up to the expectations that people had coming into the NBA, but, you know, as a rotation guy for the Lakers on a veteran minimum deal, like, it's all up to him to come out and play well and whatnot. So those were some of the big moves on day one for the Lakers. And then day two, which was yesterday, the Lakers had their big splash signings. They brought in, early in the morning, they signed Jackson Hayes, who's like a 6'11", super athletic guy who was on the Pelicans. He was, I think it was the 2019 draft. I think the same draft that Rui Hachimura was in, either 2018 or 2019. And he's just a big, big guy. I mean, he's lanky, but he's kind of quick, athletic. Kind of reminds me of JaVale McGee. I feel like he could play that JaVale McGee role almost that the Lakers utilized in the 2019-2020 season. So I like that signing. I mean, the Lakers needed a big. I've talked a lot about the Lakers needing to bring in someone like a big to play alongside Anthony Davis. It doesn't look like the Lakers are going to do that. You know, a lot of the guys that we signed on day one were either guards or forwards, which, you know, it's a forward dominant league right now, and even kind of leaning towards guards. So you can get big men for kind of cheap that can fill a role. So I kind of get that. I was obviously a big proponent of trying to bring in Brook Lopez. Brook Lopez signed for like 2 years, $48 million yesterday, which was definitely out of the Lakers' budget, or at least what they were willing to pay someone. So we did not bring in Brook Lopez, but Jackson Hayes, I like that, you know. And I forget what the deal is off the top of my head, but it's a pretty affordable deal. And he's just a big body that can run kind of rim run, block shots, athletic, high motor kind of guy. And it looks like the Lakers are kind of favoring defense again, which I like to see. And then the big splashes that we were waiting for were Austin Reeves, D'Angelo Russell, kind of see what the Lakers were going to do there. I had seen a report on Friday that the Lakers were going to offer Austin Reeves 4 years, $56 million, which was kind of funny to me because, you know, I had seen reports that the Lakers were saying that they were willing to match up to like $100 million for Austin Reeves. And so they come out and offer him 4 years, 56. I'm like, wow, cut that in half, what you're willing to match from another team. So I was almost certain that, you know, after it became public that the Lakers were willing to offer 4 years for $56 million to start off for Austin Reeves, that, you know, a team like the Spurs would come in and offer him 4 years, 80 at least, or something like that, you know, just to force the Lakers' hand to make them pay, you know, match that offer and pay him more. But news came out yesterday that that Austin Reeves agreed to the offer, 4 years, $56 million, which is a steal, because also in the same day yesterday, I think this was after the Austin Reeves signing, but it came out that the Rockets signed Dylan Brooks for 4 years, $80 million. So he almost got $30 million more for the same lifetime contract, or same, you know, life of the contract as Austin Reeves. So you're telling me that in this market, you know, that Dylan Brooks is worth that much more than Austin Reeves? Hell no. So the Lakers got a steal with that Austin Reeves deal. There's no way that Austin Reeves should be getting paid that much less than Dylan Brooks, as a guy that can't shoot. They say he can defend, but like couldn't do anything against the Lakers in the playoffs. He's a big mouth. He basically like seemed like he was a cancer to the Memphis Grizzlies locker room during the playoffs, you know, talking a big game and then coming out and just like being awful, like playing awful. So, you know, you're telling me that guy is worth $24 million more than Austin Reeves? Yeah, I don't think so. So Lakers got a steal with Austin Reeves, 4 years, 56. I did see a tweet. I wonder if I can pull it up really quick, about the contingencies in the Austin Reeves contract, which really, really helped, I think, get him to agree to less money. Let's see, it might take me a minute to pull it up. Okay, yeah. So a Shams tweet says more details on the Reeves contract. Reeves, his new deal contains a player option on year four, a 15% trade kicker, and the maximum advance allowable per sources. The Lakers included everything they legally could to make sure Reeves stayed in Los Angeles. So I think the Lakers really learned from the Alex Caruso situation. And again, people love to compare Alex Caruso to Austin Reeves because they're two white guards. Their games are pretty different. Austin Alex Caruso is a big defensive guy, not a big offensive guy. Austin Reeves is a big offensive guy, not quite as good defensively yet. But like, their games aren't really the same. They're just two white guys that were undrafted that the Lakers found, basically. But that being said, the Lakers letting Alex Caruso walk, I think, was still a mistake back when it happened. So I feel like they've kind of learned their lesson in this situation where Austin Reaves is a guy that, like, he could kind of fall under the radar. But I mean, Austin Reaves did whatever he could to make sure that he didn't, right? He was consistently the Lakers' third best player throughout the playoffs. And you got to do whatever you can to bring him back. So props to the Lakers for one, arranging the contract so that you could pay him a little less, but also incentivize him to take the contract as opposed to throwing just a bunch of money at him, which is what it sounds like the Rockets did with Dylan Brooks. So good to have Austin Reaves back. And then the other big signing that happened yesterday was D'Angelo Russell. The Lakers brought back D'Angelo Russell for 2 years, like, what was it, 30 something million. I'm pulling it up right now. 2 years, yeah, $37 million for D'Angelo Russell, which is a great deal there. I mean, the Lakers have killed free agency so far, in my opinion. They brought back D'Angelo Russell, who was not good in the Western Conference Finals, but he was still huge for the Lakers getting to the playoffs. Now, I don't know if I've said it on the podcast, but I've said this to some friends and stuff. Like, I don't know that D'Angelo Russell is a championship caliber starting point guard. Ideally, he's going to be a guy someday in his career that he's going to come off the bench and be like a really good sixth man for a team that makes a finals run. Can he be consistent enough to be a starting point guard on a championship team? Maybe on a team with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. Maybe on a team where Alex or Austin Reaves steps up and plays as well as he has. Maybe having Gabe Vincent coming off the bench, leaving, putting a fire under D'Angelo Russell's butt to like keep him playing well. I think that the Lakers are constructing a team that is extremely deep, is extremely just equipped to make a deep playoff run. And we don't have a ton of size still. I think the Lakers still have a couple more roster spots available. I would love to see them bring in someone like Mason Plumlee, maybe. Just a big body that you can throw at, that you can throw at Jokic or something. Do the Lakers bring back Tristan Thompson? Tristan Thompson kind of had some big flashes in the playoffs. I mean, they're garbage time minutes, but like he came in game four, not in garbage time, against the Nuggets, and he played pretty well, He's a little undersized, like he's only 6'9" or something, but maybe he's one of those veteran guys that you want to have in your locker room and can kind of play some minutes. Someone like Mason Plumlee is a little more incentivizing because he's actually like a guy that can, be a big body, kind of like the Dwight Howard position back in the 2019-2020 season, that kind of situation. So we'll see what the Lakers continue to do, but they've made a ton of moves. They were really active from pretty much from the jump. And it's hard to pick a favorite. I mean, obviously, like the Austin Reaves and Rui Hachimura are probably the best things that the Lakers did, in my opinion. D'Angelo Russell bringing him back for the 2 years, $37 million is a nice deal. I mean, keeping that under 40 million is huge for D'Angelo Russell. But it's really hard to not love that Taurean Prince signing, Like there's a lot of potential there with how he can potentially shoot for the Lakers, the defense he can provide, again, the spells he can give LeBron, and for how cheap they got him, Like For like I don't know, like maybe I would have expected someone like Torian Prince to get a little bit more money, you know, like especially like you're saying, if you can compare what Jared Vanderbilt has on his contract for the 1 year, it's like 4.3 million, I think. So like 200K more for Torian Prince is like, you know, maybe like closer to 8 million for Torian Prince is what I would have expected. But I mean, I'm also not like an expert in like the NBA market and all that stuff, so maybe I'm just off, but I would have expected maybe a little more for Torian Prince. So to get him for 4.5 really set the like it's really set the table for the Lakers to come in and be able to make some big moves and you know bring back Austin Reaves and bring in Gabe Vincent and you know and all these things. And I think the Jackson Hayes signing is also one of those that like it's been swept under the rug a little bit. You know, and again, like he's not going to come out and like average 15 points for the Lakers or something like that, but like he's just one of those guys that like will make a difference game to game. You know, he will be a guy that you could throw him at the five with AD at the four. And like, you know, I don't think Jackson Hayes is, I mean, again, I don't know much about his game, but I don't think that he's necessarily stretching the floor and like hitting threes and stuff, but he's creating space for Anthony Davis to kind of do some stuff. He's a lob threat. He's just an athletic big guy that can wreak some havoc, which is what the Lakers kind of missed last season. So, looking forward to that. That'll be a fun one. That's a fun signing. But yeah, you know, and Gabe Vincent, the thing is like Gabe Vincent is kind of like the Lakers' big splash signing, so to speak. But he's really just a shooter replacement. So like in that sense, I'm trying not to get like too high of hopes. I think there's a lot of Lakers fans out there that are like, "Oh, we got this lights out shooter coming in to replace Dennis Schroeder, and we're gonna, you know, he's gonna come in and blah blah blah." I'm trying to keep my expectations a little bit low. You know, I don't know with Gabe Vincent, right? It's like the playoffs were big. That does mean something. It does. I'm not saying it doesn't mean anything, but the rest of the regular season also means something too. And he, you know, he is basically equivalent to Dennis Schroeder. So, you know, don't get your hopes up too much that he's going to come out and be like this 39%, 40% 3-point shooter off the bench and all that stuff. But he will definitely have a ton to add. And the Lakers just got really deep. And the Lakers get to play an entire season with this team. You know, the Lakers had their backs against the wall last season with the team that they traded for. They acquired a bunch of guys. They created depth on the team. They made a long playoff run with a team that they had since February 9th, you know. We get to have a whole training camp with this team. We get to go in and play an entire season, and you know things are looking up. I feel pretty hopeful about this team. I think at the very least, the Lakers, who were a Western Conference Finals team last season, got better. You know, I do think we upgraded with Gabe Vincent from Dennis Schroeder. As much as I'm just kind of playing it down with Gabe Vincent, I do think it was still an upgrade. Bringing back Rui, bringing back Austin Reaves is big. I think Jackson Hayes, again, I just think that from what we had last season, he's an improvement. Torian Prince is a big improvement from the wings that we had last, right? Torian Prince is basically going to replace like Troy Brown Jr., you know? Troy Brown Jr., thank you for all you did in LA, but like Torian Prince is an upgrade there. And I, you know, Malik Beasley. Right, like Malik Beasley, Mo Bamba, the Lakers waived those guys, which created a lot of space for the Lakers to make all these moves. And Mo Bamba, I like the idea of him. You know, he's a young 7-foot guy that can spread the floor, hit threes. Again, not like at a crazy high clip. He's not like the best. He's not like this huge prospect that's going to be a superstar one day. But I think he'll develop into like a formidable role player, kind of like a Brook Lopez type guy. You know. So in that sense, it'd be cool to see him back, but not for like the $10 million that he was, you know, that his contract was worth. Again, same thing with Malik Beasley, right? Like he came in and, you know, he's that perfect example of a Lakers player that forgets how to shoot threes when he comes, puts a Laker uniform on. You know, like he had the highest 3-point shooting percentage, I think, last season before he joined the Lakers, came out and basically became unplayable in the playoffs. You just can't have that. And so I think dropping him and just putting all our focus on Austin Reaves as like the starting shooting guard, and I'm trying to think like who's our backup shooting guards now. Where's my phone? Let me see. There's like all these tweets. I have like updated Lakers depth charts now, after all the moves that they've done. So let me see. I can pull it up really quick. Let's see, let's see, let's see. Well, Max Christie is a guy that will probably get some playing time next season. He can kind of play that shooting guard position. Let's see. Okay, so at point guard, you got D'Angelo Russell, Gabe Vincent, Jalen Hood-Schifino, who is the Lakers' draft pick, which I don't think we talked about that. Jalen Hood-Schifino, he was a guard for Indiana. It sounded like the Lakers basically were kind of drafted him with the expectation that potentially they might not be able to bring Austin Reeves back. Like, he's a guy that could kind of replace Austin Reeves. But he's like a killer of the mid-range, kind of attack-the-basket guard, which you love to see because D'Angelo Russell really isn't that as much, you know? Like, he doesn't attack the basket quite as well or quite as consistently. At shooting guard, Lakers have Austin Reeves, Cam Reddish, and Max Christie. There you go, Cam Reddish. I was thinking of him as a small forward. Small forward, you have LeBron James, Torian Prince. Power forward, you have Rui Hachimura, Jared Vanderbilt. Center, you have Anthony Davis and Jackson Hayes. So, I mean, Cam Reddish off the bench and Max Christie off the bench. I fully expect Max Christie to kind of have a trajectory like what we've seen with Austin Reeves, you know? And it's hard to put that on a second-year guy to, like, play as well as Austin Reeves did for the Lakers last season. But Max Christie has shown a lot of flashes of, like, he can attack the basket. He's knocking down three-pointers. Another guy to kind of keep their eye on is Cole Swider. You know, like, he's kind of like one of those guys that he'll be fun to see watch in Summer League for sure. Keep an eye out for him. He's another guy that, like, maybe not this season, maybe it's a next season thing, but, like, he could step up and be a big three-point shooter guy for the Lakers as well. So, you know, I don't know. I just like what the Lakers have done. I would give them an A in this free agency. I think the Lakers definitely took their Western Conference Finals team and got a lot better. Obviously, there's some question marks, right? Like, Gabe Vincent, will he produce even close to what he did in the playoffs? Will he be at least an upgrade from Dennis Schroeder? Question mark there. Cam Reddish hasn't really done much in his career. He's been a little bit of a disappointment. Can he step up on a veteran's minimum and prove that he's worth playing, and can he play defense? Can he shoot the ball? That kind of stuff. Rui Hachimura, can he keep up the production that he had in the playoffs? Jared Vanderbilt, can Jared Vanderbilt get better offensively? That's a big question there. You know, like, Jared Vanderbilt, like, he's such a good defender, but he was only able to play like 15 to 20 minutes a game in the playoffs because he's just a little bit of a liability offensively. D'Angelo Russell, right? Like, can he buy into his role with the Lakers being the third or fourth best guy on the team? You know, like, obviously you have LeBron, Anthony Davis, and then you have maybe Austin Reeves or maybe D'Angelo Russell. You know, D'Angelo Russell might be the fourth best guy on the team, or the fourth best option offensively on the team. Can he buy into that role for an 82-game season and a playoff run? So there's definitely still a lot of questions. You know, by no means do I think that this Lakers team is a lock for the finals or a lock for the Western Conference Finals again. Obviously, a lot can happen from an injury standpoint and all that stuff. So who knows? But at all things being equal, the Lakers got better. So shout out to Rob Pelinka, shout out to Jeannie Buss, shout out to the Lakers organization for killing the first 2 days of free agency and getting it done quick. So summer league's coming up, so that'll be fun to see the young guys kind of play and get out there and all that stuff. It's been a fun last couple of days following the Lakers and their free agency signings. It'll be interesting to see what the Lakers do with their last couple. I think they have two more roster spots open, one or two. Like I said, someone like Mason Plumlee could be big. Just like another big guy that you can throw at someone like Jokic from a defensive standpoint especially. So it'll be interesting to see what the Lakers do to kind of fill out the roster. Maybe they'll leave one roster spot open. That's something that the Lakers did last season. They had like their roster spot open for right up until the playoffs started, and they signed Tristan Thompson. So, something to keep an eye on there. But overall, I'm very impressed and very happy with what the Lakers did in free agency this season so far, and it's making me super pumped for next season. The next season can't come soon enough, honestly, at this point. So thank you guys all for listening, and go Lakers. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Lakers Carpool. If you enjoyed the episode, please rate and review on Apple Podcasts and share it on social media with your friends. You can find the podcast on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or most places where you listen to podcasts. Again, thank you so much for listening, and go Lakers.
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis, 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good! Anthony Davis!